I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. This is not the 9/11 anniversary, but today the nation, led by President Obama, once again stopped to remember what happened on that September morning almost 13 years ago now.
Here at this memorial, this museum, we come together. We stand in the footprints of two mighty towers, graced by the rush of eternal waters. We look into the faces of nearly 3,000 innocent souls, men and women and children of every race, every creed, from every corner of the world. Here, we tell their story so that generations yet unborn will never forget.
President Obama speaking this morning at the dedication of the National September 11th Memorial Museum in New York. The first visitors today were 9/11 survivors, victims' families, and rescue workers. Next week, it officially opens to the public. It's not been easy getting here. There have been emotionally charged battles and political fights almost every step of the way. Liz Greenspan is the author of Battle for Ground Zero and also an urban anthropologist at Harvard. Those rushing waters that President Obama was talking about, there's a fountain there. I mean, aside from that, what's most important or possibly unique for you about this memorial and this moment?
This is the day that the museum was dedicated, and the museum is actually underground, which makes it a very unique space. It also tells the story of the day of 9/11 through this vivid collection of thousands of artifacts. But it also situates it, or begins to situate it, with the before and the after. There's a little bit, part of the exhibition talks about Al-Qaeda and the origins of that group. And then at the end, it looks at the recovery efforts and also mentions some of the policies that followed 9/11, some of which are quite controversial, like Guantanamo Bay and some of and the wars that followed. So it brings all together the pieces, or, you know, it attempts to, for the very first time in an official capacity.
Have you been there? Have you seen it already?
I saw a very early version of the museum, and I've seen a number of the artifacts that they'll display, but I actually have tickets to go on Monday as part of this advanced viewing.
And I'm just curious, your kind of first impressions just being in that kind of space when it was early on.
It's an incredible space. I mean, the museum talks about it as an artifact itself, the space as an archaeological site. And they've actually done a lot of work to keep many of the foundational remnants intact. So there's that big wall that many people may have heard of, the slurry wall, that divides the site from the Hudson River. And that's very visible and preserved for everyone to see. You can see outlines of, you know, some of the early foundations of the Twin Towers that have been saved. So it's an incredibly evocative space that the museum has used to tell the story to.
You'd think that people connected through the sadness and pain of that day, that there'd been kind of, there'd be a united spirit in the process of creating this museum and memorial. Where'd the controversy come from?
So many pieces have been so controversial about this, and I think in part because so many people feel so strongly about this space, people who come from different backgrounds and with different perspectives, and they want different things from it. So you have victims' families, you have New Yorkers, you have downtown residents, there are architects, and they see it all very differently. They're not a homogenous group. And the battles speak to kind of what's at stake here. And I also think as to how unresolved 9/11 still is for a large part of the country.
How does the memorial deal with the narrative of the hijackers? And I mean, because they're part of the story. Can you do that in a memorial?
Well, that's one of the big questions. And that's why some people are upset. The museum felt strongly about talking about the perpetrators. They had to be named and they're showing their photograph. But a lot of, or some victims' family members felt strongly that showing their photograph, for instance, in the not too far away from a space where the victims themselves have their photographs shown, was starting to blur the boundaries and that it could somehow even inadvertently memorialize those who carried out the attacks. And so the museum has taken great pains to kind of draw lines and try to distinguish it. But at some level, you have to include them in the story. I think if you're telling a historical exhibit, you're not just remembering here. You're also trying to document history. And so, you know, that's the conflict. And I think we'll see how it unfolds. You know, this is just the beginning in that sense.
I mean, I'm curious to know just your thoughts after writing this book and speaking with so many different parties interested in this museum and this memorial. I mean, is this the day to leave the controversies behind? And if you do, is the downside that we end up neglecting the history.
I do think we are starting to leave some of the conflict behind, but I do not think it is over. I think this is, you know, pieces are being completed, but this is just the beginning. There's now the museum, because the museum is here, there's the potential for more discussion and debate. I mean, that's what it really offers. So I think we will continue to see conflict. I think continue to see controversy. But I do think, as you said, there's some benefit to that because it promotes discussion of something very difficult that we still have trouble talking about really publicly, openly, and hearing things that we may not want to hear from someone who thinks about things differently than we do.
You write in The Battle for Ground Zero about a graffiti tag that was common near the site. It seems to fall in the category of Boston Strong or the post 9/11 United We Stand. So tell us about the phrase America the Rebuildiful. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I was really struck by it because it takes America the Beautiful and then combines it with this desire and need to rebuild. And it just spoke to me about how important the rebuilding process was symbolically, not just to New York, but also to the country, as a sign of moving forward, you know, strength, resilience. And it really linked all of what's going on architecturally and building-wise to this broader meaning of the events of the day. And so it's very intimately attached to this piece of land. You know, the meaning of 9/11 it resides here, which is another reason why the Memorial Museum are so controversial. This isn't happening, you know, in some other site, as a lot of memorials exist on other places. This is happening at the site of the violence and destruction. So that makes it even more both powerful, but also conflict-driven.
I mean, personally, I feel like Maya Lin's Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington remains kind of the standard for these places where simplicity and space are kind of the frames for the thoughts and mourning of visitors. I don't know whether you agree, but how does the 9/11 Memorial compare to the Vietnam Vets Memorial?
Yes, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial absolutely is the standard bearer. I think you're right. And now everyone, in fact, wants their memorials to be like that memorial. And that's what happened here, too. A lot of people, when we were first designing and thinking about what could be a Ground Zero, people wanted Mylan to design it. It's also the reason why the listing of names has become kind of so de rigueur when we think about memorials.
Who did design it?
Michael Arad designed the memorial at Ground Zero. And I mean, he's familiar with Mylan's work. I think he sees his design as very independent and separate. I think, you know, the presence of the names is important. What also is interesting to me is the arrangement of the names was controversial. He arranged them differently. There's an adjacency that he used to kind of list names of people that had known one another in particular ways in the towers. They're not just alphabetical. They try to capture a relationship. Mylan, when she did the wall, listed names on the date that they had died as opposed to alphabetically. And in both instances, that arrangement caused a lot of controversy. You know, they're arranged differently, but they both sparked a resistance for people who wanted something simple and ordered and alphabetical. And so there's echoes there between those two events.
How do they deal with the names of Muhammad Atta and his accomplices?
They're not there.
They're not there.
No, the names of the perpetrators are not included, and I don't know if anyone ever even suggested that they should be. That was kind of accepted from the beginning.
The museum displays the red bandana worn by one of the rescuers who died in the inferno, also a wristwatch frozen in time. What for you was the most powerful part of the exhibit?
I think these personal objects are incredibly powerful because they're kind of their everyday things, right, that all of us have, bandanas, watches, wallets, but they've taken on this extraordinary meaning partly because in some cases they're all that remains from that individual. And so to have the object displayed alongside that person's story, it's pretty powerful. And in some cases you hear recordings of family members talking about the object, which makes it even more poignant. It's those objects coupled with the big monumental pieces, like there's this crushed fire truck, that brings home the kind of the immensity of the destruction and the power of the, you know, when the towers collapsed, that I think nothing else does. You can see it, something that's so huge, in fact, is reduced to these scraps. So those couple, that personal scale with this monumental scale, is pretty overwhelming.
So the museum and the plaza cost a total of $700 million to build. It will cost more to run than the Arlington National Cemetery. Security alone costs $10 million. Admission, $24. As someone commented, it'll be a cemetery with an entrance fee. What have the museum's designers actually achieved, in your opinion? Is it that sacred space, as the president said, enshrined in the heart of the nation?
I think what they've done is they've brought together all of the pieces of the day in an incredibly powerful story, and then they've begun to situate it in a broader context. The context is much more minimal than the day itself, but they've begun to do that, and no one else has done that yet, not officially, not institutionally. There's been no public narrative that we've all agreed on. And so here it's being offered, and I think what will be most important is if this exhibition and this space can promote more discussion and dialogue about what this day means, you know, to the country, how we understand it, and how we also have responded to it. Those are things that remain difficult to talk about, but that's what the museum can really promote.
Liz Greenspan, the author of Battle for Ground Zero, thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much.